Good morning. Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Rob Sivak, sitting in for Tom Hall. More than 4 million refugees have fled the bloody civil war in Syria over the past 5 years. That's about 10% of all the world's refugees and displaced people, a fifth of Syria's population. And many of them are still waiting after arduous escapes and dangerous journeys to find safe haven in Europe and the United States. But in the wake of the ISIS attacks in Paris, November 13th, and growing fears of further terrorism, the welcome mat for Syrian refugees is being pulled away in some places. Joining me here in the studio to talk about the situation facing those Syrian refugees, the resettlement process, and the balance between national security concerns and civil liberties is David Rocha, Senior Staff Attorney, the American Civil Liberties Union of Maryland. And on the phone with us is Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the Baltimore Branch of the International Rescue Committee, one of 9 nonprofit agencies that manages refugee resettlements in the United States. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having me on.
Gentlemen, last week, 30 state governors asked the federal government to put a hold on any further resettlement of Syrian refugees until security concerns have been more thoroughly addressed. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan issued a statement that was actually more moderate than some of his fellow Republican governors. His statement read in part, "Following the terrorist attacks on Paris just 4 days ago and after careful consideration, I'm now requesting that federal authorities cease any additional settlements of refugees from Syria in Maryland until the U.S. government can provide appropriate assurances that refugees from Syria pose no threat to public safety." David Rocha, do these governors have any legal standing to refuse refugee resettlements or to demand extraordinary security vetting?
No. I mean, in a word, immigration is a federal matter, and it's the federal government that controls who can and cannot be admitted to the country. And once those decisions have been made, our Constitution and our laws protect everyone who is here from discrimination on the basis of national origin or religion, and governors have no legal authority to bar Syrian refugees or refugees from any other country, nor Muslim refugees, nor refugees from any other faith tradition or no faith tradition at all.
Well, at least one local politician who thinks Governor Hogan is on solid ground is Republican Congressman Andy Harris of Maryland. Here's what he told a reporter with a local CBS affiliate, WJZ-TV.
"Look, I think given our proximity to Washington, D.C., which is an obvious terrorist target, I think it's the right thing to do. We don't have the ability to figure out who's here to do us harm and who isn't. If this administration doesn't set up that capability, then we should never take immigrants from areas of the world where people have vowed to do us harm. And this is one of those areas of the world."
Democrats have been more supportive of the Syrian refugees. Former Maryland governor and presidential candidate Martin O'Malley is calling for the U.S. to admit nearly 70,000 Syrian refugees this year. That's well more than President Obama's target of 10,000. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have been supportive of the call for additional refugees to be brought in. But even as the Republican governors were asking the Obama administration to put the brakes on resettlement, the House of Representatives on Thursday passed with a largely bipartisan vote the so-called Refugee Resettlement Oversight and Security Act of 2015. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan urging support for the bill on the House floor.
"It calls for a new standard of verification for refugees from Syria and Iraq. It would mean a pause in the program until we can be certain beyond any doubt that those coming here are not a threat. It's that simple. And I don't think it's asking too much."
David, what's the real aim of this legislation, which President Obama, by the way, has said he would veto?
Well, the aim is clearly to bar refugees from Syria. You know, it has to be said that the hysteria that is being whipped up now is sickening, morally repugnant, and wrong. We don't hear calls to bar people from coming from France or Belgium, but the facts, at least as they are known, are that all of the people who participated in the attacks, the horrific attacks in Paris, were from France or Belgium. And the fact that We don't hear calls to bar people from France or Belgium tells you, I think, what's really going on behind this. That it is, and it also is important to say that the refugees that we are talking about admitting to the United States, the process has no connection to the wave of refugees coming to Europe. The process to come to the United States as a refugee from Syria is about a two-year process, and those refugees are probably the most scrutinized group of people of any who enter the United States. And the idea that we have some kind of crisis here, or the idea that the people who are being admitted after this generally about a two-year process are a threat to safety in this country, it is pure, unadulterated nonsense. And the people saying it know better, should know better, and are engaged in the most rank kind of religious demagoguery that is so morally repugnant and so dangerous, and it's shocking and disgusting that it is happening in this country today. And I just feel like that has to be said.
Still, many Americans seem to be worried about the refugees posing a potential terrorist threat, and they want to be sure extra steps are taken to screen these Syrian refugees. And let me turn to Ruben Chandrasekhar. You deal with these resettlements all the time. Would you say that the refugee screening process is as robust as David suggests?
Absolutely. You know, every single person who applies to enter the U.S. As a refugee undergoes rigorous screenings by different elements of the U.S. government. These security screenings involve multiple in-person interviews with every single applicant, and the collection of biometric data like fingerprints, and in the case of Syrian applicants, iris scans. And this biometric data is filtered through the Department of Homeland Security databases, the FBI, the Department of Defense, and multiple intelligence agencies. And all refugee applicants, regardless of where they come from, be it from Europe, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, must clear these security checks before they're moved forward in the process. And as David said, when all is said and done, a typical refugee applicant may have to wait anywhere from 12 to 36 months before they clear the various security checks and are welcomed to the U.S. In addition, I'd just like to add that attempts by federal and state officials to limit the arrival of Syrian refugees in particular is really grounded in misinformation about who Syrian refugees are. If you look at the events of Friday, November 13th, that happened in Paris, the world caught a glimpse of what a terrorist group like ISIS is capable of. And I think what some people have forgotten is that the over 4 million Syrian refugees who have fled their country, in addition to the 8 million people who are displaced internally in that country, have been subjected to not just ISIS-type terror, but the terror of the Assad government and various other armed military forces in that country. The Syrian refugee crisis is characterized by the brutal and indiscriminate killing of civilians and has caused the greatest mass migration of people since World War II. People wouldn't be fleeing the country if they weren't fleeing terror. And all of them, before coming to the U.S., are screened rigorously.
Mm-hmm. On 88.1 WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm senior producer Rob Sivak speaking with Ruben Chandrasekhar, executive director of the International Rescue Committee, and David Rocha, senior staff attorney with the ACLU of Maryland. David, a refugee applying for admission to the United States or any other country clearly doesn't have the rights of a citizen yet, but what rights, what fundamental rights do refugees have when they've left their home country?
Well, most of the rights that refugees have are grounded actually in international humanitarian law, which has been codified in U.S. law in terms of our asylum process. That is, but most of that law applies for people who land on American soil. The refugee process that we're talking about now, where refugees are screened overseas, is, again, governed largely by American statutory law, by the federal rules governing that admission process. The Constitution sets some minimal constraints on the rules that the government can set up. Our immigration laws have frequently discriminated on the basis of nationality. So if the federal government passed a law that was discriminating on the basis of country of origin, that probably would not violate the Constitution. I don't think certainly in anything approaching modern times, our government has ever discriminated in the immigration process on the basis of religion. And I think to do so would be a sickening and disheartening prospect. And I think it would almost certainly be unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm. Ruben Chandrasekhar, do you believe the national security concerns that have been raised about refugees are going to play havoc with the resettlement process in America, perhaps drag it out longer than its current 2 years?
I believe so, you know, especially with the passage of H.R. 4038 by the U.S. House of Representatives. You know, this bill would make it, you know, very difficult for legitimate Syrian and Iraqi refugees to get to the U.S. And it really introduces a bunch of unnecessary and, quite frankly, impractical requirements that would really hamper our efforts to resettle some of the most vulnerable and persecuted people, many of whom are victims of terrorism. You know, it must be stated that since the U.S. Began resettling refugees in 1975, we have resettled a little over 3 million refugees in this country, including, I might add, over 100,000 Iraqis over the last decade. You know, we have very rigorous screening mechanisms in place to ensure that, you know, refugee applicants who enter this country are those who are fleeing persecution and not those persecuting others.
I'm afraid we're out of time, Ruben. Yeah. We're going to have to cut it there. Ruben Chandrasekhar, Executive Director of the International Rescue Committee, and David Rocha, Senior Staff Attorney, ACLU of Maryland. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Rob Sivak. There's more to come. Stay with us on 88.1.